Hi, I'm Rob, and this is Dad Sofa, a podcast about the things which connect us, whether it is a rained-off attempt at a trip to the pub, or string theory, a cycle to Cornwall, or a chat in the sea. We talk about the stuff of life, what makes us curious, the stuff that connects everything, the spaghetti of life. Come and join us. Get comfy. This is Dad Sofa. 2 million years ago, Homo habilis walked the planet, and it is thought that expansion of the brain seems to have really taken off from around this point in time. Over the following 1.3 million years, the brain doubled its size. But it only took another 600,000 years before the brain had trebled in size. There are quite a few theories on why this should have occurred, because in the previous 60 million years, there's little evidence of any appreciable change in primate species' brains. Some say it was about standing up or developing language, more complex motor skills, hunting and gathering. But there is one other theory which I find particularly interesting. It's associated with social groups. If you look at different mammals, you'll find large mammals with small brains and small mammals with large brains. So why is that? Well, one compelling answer seems to relate to the size of the communities that they live in. The larger the close-knit community, the more complex behaviours that develop, and as a result, brain size increases. It was Richard Dunbar in 1992 that published an article showing that there was a consistent increase in the ratio of the neocortex to brain size when compared to increasing social group size. So let's call the neocortex to brain size ratio the NCB. A tamarin monkey's NCB is 2.3, and its social group size is 5. But in the macaque monkey, where the NCB is 3.8, their social group size is 40. In relation to humans, it can then be calculated that our social group size should be around 150. This has since been shown to be pretty accurate. The tribes of people we know and regularly interact with is on average approximately 148. So what does this mean? The ratio doesn't seem to give a computation power to design things. It is our ability to work in complex social situations and relying on each other that is enhanced. Some people have much greater groups of friends and some far fewer. So what is happening? We can see that social networks have gone wild with the development of social media and the internet. The world has suddenly become a much smaller place, and I love my weekly meeting with my friends in Marlow and in the US. You know who you are. It is even more valuable to consider that these meetings are food for my brain. I say this because there is a phenomenon called the Flynn effect, described by J.R. Flynn in his book What is Intelligence in 2007. The effect, which wasn't actually coined by Flynn himself, relates to the huge increase in human intelligence scores during the 20th century. While we know that lots of major things happened during this time, does that mean it will continue into the 21st century? The technological revolution could be held responsible for the changes during the 20th, with the development of large cities surviving with better infrastructure and health. But what of the idea that many societies have become more insular during the 21st century? On the other hand, of course, as I've mentioned, the internet and social media might already be quietly remedying this. So is the intelligence increase just happening through our children, or are our brains developing and then influencing our genetic code? Or is this increase in intelligence changing the way we influence our children's brains? It is thought that through each generation, there is an IQ increase of about 30 points at the moment. Think about that next time you are getting impatient with your kids struggling with their homework. But what of our own brains? Almost all of the 100 billion cells in your brain were there before you were born. It is said that if you lose a bunch of them, for example, through an injury, disease, or stroke, you're not going to get them back. Apparently. Most plasticity doesn't occur by creating new neurons. Now let's hold on to that word most. But instead, plasticity involves changes in how neurons are connected to each other or how they function. Even after serious injuries like a stroke, which can kill 2 million neurons per minute, the brain is often able to adapt and recover much of its previous function. New connections form, and the surviving neurons take on more work. But how do we explain some of the amazing stories about brain restoration? One such story is about the boy Noah Wall, who was born with spina bifida and only had 2% of a normal brain. But by the age of 7, his brain had grown to 80%. 80% of normal size expected for his age. It was expected that he would be paralysed from the chest down with very little brain function. But now he can move one of his lower limbs. He can speak well. And you can see him online, enthusiastically telling his grandparents the story about his 2% brain growing to 80% and that he is hoping to walk soon. The doctors are not unoptimistic about his opinion either. Surely this cannot be explained by brain cells getting bigger. They'd have to be pretty big cells to go from 2% to 80% brain size, wouldn't they? It's easy to think that this must have been the capacity for a child's brain to develop, but there are surprising stories about adults too. Terry Wallace was involved in a car accident that rendered him comatose for 19 years with severe brain damage. Nobody expected him to recover. His mother nearly fell over when one day he just said, "Mom." Over the next few days, he developed the capacity to talk again. Dr. Nicholas Schiff, his neurologist, said that his brain was badly atrophied, but was very active. They were able to show that massive tracts of his brain were recovering with new axon growth over the following 8 months. It was literally rewiring itself. Another scan 18 months later showed that his recovery was still going on, and many areas of his brain were showing normal structure again. While we clearly need to learn more about how our brains develop and what gives them a capacity to recover, we know that there is a capacity for change to happen within the normal brain, such as the development of the hearing and touch centres of the brain in those who are blind, or even in those who become blind as adults. So what about our own brains? What is happening to them now? Have you struggled to hear someone because of muffled speech behind a mask? Wearing a mask not only reduces volume, but takes away one of the keys to us understanding language. Seeing the mouth move really helps our understanding, and losing this suddenly has led to us all saying, "Pardon? Sorry? What did you say?" a little bit more often. Our brains are already changing as we speak, as these new challenges are set before us. We are learning to zoom wave. A response to the cutout when saying goodbye on such platforms is that we now wave at each other to make sure that we are heard, even if only visually. At least this is more polite. So those who cope more with these changes, are they the more connected? Or are they developing a connectedness? This very connectedness and the plasticity of our brains developing our intelligence. An example of how our brains might be rewiring in our own heads right now. Thank you.